Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a show based on the story of Hannah in the Bible who prayed and prayed and prayed to have a child. The Lord ended up giving her Samuel and she surrendered him to God. So yes, so our show covers everything from infertility to miscarriage to fostering or adoption. Whatever your journey is, we just want to encourage you along the way to cling to Christ.
That's right. That's right. We hope we can do that. Every time you listen to this, we just hope you're encouraged, inspired, I don't know, all the good things.
And feel seen.
And feel seen. Because there can be definitely really hard things to talk about. And one of those things is today. I guess, not warning, but just to let people know, we are going to be talking about miscarriage today. I know that's something that we've definitely talked about on the show before. But if you feel like, okay, I just experienced a miscarriage not long ago, I don't know if I can listen to this, we totally understand. We'll see you back next week. But also, you might have just walked through a miscarriage and you might think, I need to hear someone else who has walked through
That's
this.
True.
I want to know, yeah, right, like That's you're saying, true, yeah. to be seen. And so you might, you know, be one of those categories, and whichever category you are, we understand and we are with you. Today we have a special guest on. She works here at AFA with us, but she was still just as hard to schedule as anyone else to have on the program. We have Rebecca Davis. You are the editor of The Stand magazine.
Yeah, I am.
And so we're so happy to have you on. Obviously, miscarriage is going to be part of your story, so I hate that that's the reason that you're here, but I am just thankful that you're willing to come on and share. And Kendra even prayed before the episode. You mentioned that even though it was years ago, it feels fresh as we're sitting here talking about it today. And so that just shows you how real that sweet life was, you know, that that you did end up miscarrying. And so I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, quick shout out before we jump into your full story. Back in January, we got to work with you on a really exciting Hannah's Heart project. The Stand releases a monthly publication, but in January, it was Sanctity of Human Life Month, and we did a whole issue that's about all the topics that we talk about in Hannah's Heart.
All the topics.
And you wrote an article that was a part of that, and you share a little bit about the story that you're going to go more in depth to today. If they want to connect with The Stand and maybe even get this issue, what can they do?
Okay, they can actually go online to afa.net/The Stand, and you can click on the print version. There's a button there for the print version, and click there, and then you can click on the January-February 2025 link, and a PDF will pop up.
That's
and
awesome.
The whole issue is there.
Awesome.
I will say we are actually running very low on the hard copies
because
it has been so well received. Like, we have been so grateful. People beyond just our regular subscribers have called and asked for copies of the magazine. So I would encourage you to go online and take a look at it, because it's just, like I said, it's just a whole lot of information, but really, really helpful information. We were very excited and pleased with the way it turned out.
So. We were honored. It was such a, as we met, and this is not what this episode's about, but as we met with you guys and I watched the process of how y'all get this magazine together every month, I was just amazed at, like, because I mean, y'all have to, like, plan months ahead of time, and Anne just doesn't work like that, but I had to.
You helped.
Well, that's what I'm, and it is. It's a challenge. Like, right now, we're working on our July issue. We'll send the July issue off in a couple of weeks. So, yes, I joke all the time and say, I don't really know what month I'm living in.
Am
I
in the time
magazine
of this recording,
month?
It's still April. Or, this might air a little bit later, but that's how far out.
So, we do have to plan ahead, but that was our first time to really do a themed issue. Mm-hmm. And so, we're very pleased with it and grateful for how well received it was.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, and today we're going to talk about what you wrote about mm-hmm. in that issue. And the title of your article, I think, is so good. It's called The Heartbreak That Won't Stop. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you care to just lead on from there? Sure. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and I really think that is the best way that I've been able to describe losing our baby, is just the heartache or the heartbreak that won't go away. Mm-hmm. And this happened almost 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a little while, but still, that heartache is still there. Mm-hmm. And time does heal. I mean, it truly does. I know that's kind of a cliche saying, but it does heal. But for me, it doesn't take that ache away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. It doesn't go away. It does get better with time, and the grief gets easier with time. But the thought of not having that child here with me is still hard.
Right. Because, I mean, I'm sure you still remember dates and stuff. You wrote in your article mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. date. It was December 28th, yeah. You know. And so those dates stick with us after losing those babies. And mm-hmm. they come around every year.
They do. And it's funny now, because early on, like the first few years, you know, I was always like spot on with the dates. But even now, something will be going on and, you know, we'll just be carrying on with life. But then mm-hmm. something's just not right. Yeah. And I'll stop and I'll think and I'll go, oh wait, this is when we lost the baby, or oh wait, this would have been his due date.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think, like, I don't really realize
it. Gives me chills because it's like your body knows.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is. And like I said, we'll, you know, just be going on with life, but then I'll either be really just down or off, and then I realize, oh wait, this is what day it is. And mm-hmm. so we had our son was almost two at the time mm-hmm. that we found out we were expecting, and so we had, you know, we had him, but still that didn't
one baby
make a difference, and
other.
You know that well, yeah. For sure. And so we had him, and you know, we were excited about welcoming a second one, mm-hmm. but we had not shared a whole lot. We'd shared just with our families. It was around Christmas time, and so we had shared just with our families. And then my husband was a youth pastor at the time, and so he was traveling on a youth trip for New Year's. And I was staying at my parents' house with our son. And anyway, there were some stressful events that had happened, and things just began to unfold, and I knew very quickly what was happening mm-hmm. with my body. And so I was about 6 weeks along. I had not gone to my first checkup yet. And so went to my local doctor, and of course they did an ultrasound. And I think what made it really difficult is that the ultrasound technician was really encouraging mm-hmm. because the baby did have a heartbeat.
Wow.
He just had a very slow heartbeat. And so she's like, but he does have a heartbeat. This is encouraging. And so I kind of felt like, okay, maybe, you yeah. know, it's going to be okay. And then when I went in and saw the actual doctor, and she was just very blunt, and she was like, no, it's mm-hmm. not going to be okay. You're losing the baby. Aww. And that was really, really hard, because
it's like you went back to a high, like, yeah. okay, yes. okay, we're okay.
Like, we might be okay. And then she was just very blunt. And that kind of hurt too. Like, I really needed or wanted some more compassion. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I know that that's something that she deals with the doctor deals with every day. But, you know, she was just like, no, you're miscarrying and the baby's not going to make it. And so,
did you actually get to hear the heartbeat, or just the technician?
I did. Mm-hmm.
There's something about that mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. almost like spiritual. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's something mm-hmm. when you hear that sound. Like, every time I hear an ultrasound, mm-hmm. like, it can be mm-hmm. on TV and one gets played, and you hear
that. Yeah, and you hear that. Like, mm-hmm.
it's just such a reminder that that really is a life, and that's a soul.
For sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm both sad and happy that you got to hear it.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think about often is I did not ever get a picture yeah. from that ultrasound, yeah. and I wished that I had, but anyway, in the moment. But I do, like, I do remember the beats, and as you mm-hmm. asked that, I think, Kendra, yeah, I do think we heard it, but I just remember it and just being hopeful that, mm-hmm. hey, it was there was life, and then just to have the opposite, you know, yeah. told to me just a few minutes later. But I did go back to my parents' house, and my husband flew home, you know, from the trip. Mm-hmm. And we just grieved there together. I think that's mm-hmm. probably the most hopeless I've ever mm-hmm. felt. Like there have been two times in my life where I just felt completely hopeless when it came to my children. And that was one of them, because I literally couldn't do anything.
Like, and they basically send you home to naturally miscarry.
Yes, yes.
And so you're just waiting mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with this awful dark mm-hmm. cloud hanging over you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we did. And my husband was, you know, he was there beside me, but he'll tell you too, like, it was really difficult for him because mm-hmm. as you know, he didn't have the connection to the baby that I did, only 6 weeks, you sure. know, along. And so he was there beside me, but it was hard for him to know. I mean, he felt helpless as well.
Right.
Because
but
it was
to
just
fully
like,
grasp
yeah,
what you're
yes.
actually feeling.
Yes. And so we did. They sent us home, and we miscarried at home. And then he and I just had a little time. We just went out in my parents' backyard. We were living about 4 hours away at the time in South Mississippi. And so we had, like I said, I was staying with them while he was gone. And so he and I remember it was a rainy day, and he and I just went in the backyard and to the bottom of my parents' backyard where I grew up swinging and playing mm-hmm. and all that. And we also had our wedding reception in their backyard. So we just went to the bottom of the backyard and just found mm-hmm. a place and just had a little, I guess you could just say just the two of us, just a little memorial service, mm-hmm. just a little time
wow.
to say goodbye.
Wow. And you refer to this baby as he.
I do. I don't know if it was or not. We weren't far enough along yet, but just the mama in me has always felt that it was a he. Mm.
So. I think that's so special, though, because sometimes it can bother me thinking about, because there's two miscarriages that I feel like, I feel like those mm-hmm. babies, you know, were either a boy or a girl. But I think it's important to that humanizes them. Yeah.
Well,
you know?
I just don't like calling a baby an it.
Yeah. it.
And
yeah.
so, like I said, I just naturally felt like the baby was a he, yeah. and I don't know. But
so, in your grieving process, you said you hadn't told a lot of people. So then you have this awkward, like, I'm yeah. really mm-hmm. walking through something. How did you mm-hmm. process? Did you feel like you needed to tell people, or did you just keep it to yourself?
Like I said, we had shared with our family, and then we ended up sharing with our extended family yeah. and then our church family as well. So word got around pretty quickly, especially with my husband being on staff at the church. Mm-hmm. We shared mm-hmm. with the church staff, and then it just kind of spread through the church family. And I think that was good. There were people, I mean, just in any situation, there were people there to comfort, and then there were people there who meant well.
of course.
But it, you know, they meant well.
Right.
But it just wasn't received that way, or didn't yeah. come across that way. So there were hard times, there were challenges, there were times when I would walk into the church and someone would say something as a means of encouragement, and I literally would just have to turn around yeah. and walk out because I couldn't hold it together.
Mm-hmm. Well, in church for me, even after losing John Micah, it can be a really big mm-hmm. trigger because it's such mm-hmm. an emotional place mm-hmm. in a wonderful way. But, it's such a sacred and, I mean, in my opinion, we're standing on holy ground, you yeah. know, like we are there to worship our Lord. But there's something about it that sometimes can be really hard mm-hmm. thinking mm-hmm. about, especially John Micah for me, but like, other miscarriages still hurt, you
right,
know?
Right.
And so, yeah, people at our church can definitely, mm-hmm. so many, we have been so blessed by so many at our church mm-hmm. after losing John Micah and walking through some miscarriages. But then there's some very yeah. well-meaning people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. We've done whole episodes on what not yeah. to say. But
yeah. that said some stuff that you're like,
just to throw a few out
I don't
out
really
there.
Know how to take this yeah. right now, you
yeah.
know?
Anything that starts with at least.
Yeah, just don't say
yeah.
Just don't, like, oh, at least you were early on. Mm-hmm. At least you can try again.
Right.
At least, like.
You know you can get pregnant.
Yeah, those are all things that we know you're trying to help us see the positives, mm-hmm. but it devalues a life mm-hmm. that right. was gone. You wouldn't, if somebody lost their mom or their dad, you wouldn't say, at least you had him for a little while. You
right,
wouldn't
right.
say
oh, yeah.
any
yeah.
of those things.
And I think that there was one thing that just stuck out to me. a couple in our church family. It's just a couple that always, they were always there for us all the time, whatever was going on. And they sent us a sympathy card. And that has just stuck with me forever. I'll probably tear up now. But being able to receive that sympathy card just let me know that it was a very, the loss was real.
You
know,
this like is it a was very real. Sad thing.
Yes. Yeah. It was very real where, you know, sometimes when you talk about a miscarriage, it's just an awkward topic and people will change the course of the conversation or something like that. But when we received that card in the mail, I was just like, you know, they understand. Like they understand that we just lost a child, even though we never held that child or saw that child.
Well, you feel like there's nothing to show for it.
Right, right.
Especially without having that sonogram photo. Yep. That's how all of our miscarriages labeled chemical. As chemical pregnancies. And so, there was never a sonogram picture. There was nothing. It was just the natural stuff that my body did. So I saw things to prove that there was life.
Right.
But that's it. And so you kind of feel silly, like, I don't feel like myself. I'm very sad. But you don't know that, you know.
It's like when they send that sympathy card, it acknowledges your grief and it gives you permission to grieve. And it validates all of the depth of the emotions of what you're feeling.
Yeah.
I had somebody from our church just bring us by a little tray of like sweet treats and cookies and things. And I had another friend who, and here's where it doesn't really matter what kind thing you do. Like she bought me like a head massager on Amazon. Like I think she was just like, I just know you're hurting here, and some other like random.
Well, then you just know you're thought about
care package.
Yeah,
but it meant to me like, wow, you acknowledged that this was a really hard time in my life.
Yeah, I think that's good.
And I think for us, it just you just said I wrote this in in my story that was in the magazine, but just getting that card. Just showed that this death was just as real as any other type of death. I mean, it was different, but it was just as real.
There was a heartbeat, and then there wasn't.
Hey, if you guys are just now joining us, we have Rebecca, from the editor of The Stand magazine here at AFA, and she is sharing her story of child loss from a miscarriage 13 years ago.
You mentioned in your article about a song that really stuck out to you during that time and that brought comfort. Do you mind talking about that?
No, not at all. Yeah, as I was, you know, just thinking through things and processing things, and it was a while before I was really able to talk about it, like just several years. I don't know why. I just couldn't for some reason. But as I was processing things and grieving and just, you know, saying, Lord, okay, why? You know, that's so hard. There was a song titled My Savior, My God by Aaron Schust, and it said, I'm not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. And that's what I had to cling to because I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Wow. But his ways are greater than mine.
Yeah.
And so just having to cling to that during that
time. It's not that he caused your miscarriage, but there's an aspect of God's sovereignty. Of God, you allowed this to happen.
Right.
And you are big enough to have stopped it. And I have to wrestle with that truth and that side of who you are and still love you at the end of the day.
And I'm just a person, like, I always want to know why. Like, whatever the situation.
Well, it just helps me handle things better.
Yes.
I'm the same way.
So I'm very analytical. I want to know why. I want to think through everything and process everything. And in this situation, I couldn't. I mean, it was just beyond my control.
Yeah.
And so I just had to trust and lean on him.
We know that you did get pregnant again and you had a successful pregnancy. Will you tell us about your sweet girl? But then also, was that hard, you know, to then get pregnant again?
Yes, it was scary. I mean, honestly, it was. So like I said, our son was 2 at the time, and then I got pregnant with the baby that we lost, and his due date was the same, about the same week as my 2-year-old's due date.
It
would have been right about the same time. But yes, it was a little while after that before I got pregnant again. In fact, it's kind of a funny story. before my husband and I got married, John, we've just always had a heart for adoption. Mm-hmm. And we still don't know exactly what that's going to look like in our life. I'm getting kind of old now. But anyway, we just had a heart to adopt. Yeah. So after we had our oldest, Will, and then lost the baby, we just said, okay, maybe this is the time. Because mm-hmm. before we married, we said, you know, God's given us a heart for adoption. This is something we want to do. And so we said, well, maybe this mm-hmm. is the time. So we started down that path. And we had gone to our first meeting, and we were getting ready to fill out our paperwork and make our first payment for the process and all that. And we had shared with our church family that we were going to adopt, and they came alongside us and were very supportive. And so all that to say, we had shared, and then we were at a high school football game on a Friday night, and I was eating just a big dill pickle, which I like to eat anyway. Like, I just like pickles. And so one of the ladies from our church came by, and she said, "Are you sure that you're adopted and you're not pregnant?"
Oh, my word.
And I was
so
like,
cliche, pickle eater.
I know. I was like, "I'm not pregnant, no." And so that was a Friday night. And so I went home and I was like, maybe I should just take a pregnancy test before we submit this paperwork. Yeah. And I didn't really have a reason to, because I was, I kept up with things. And anyway, So, yes, that was a Friday night. So, Saturday morning, my husband was in seminary at the time, so he was in the back bedroom studying, and I just thought, I'll take a pregnancy test just to be sure.
Rule it out. Let my mind be at ease.
And it was positive. Oh, well.
Did you just bawl?
And so I just walked back to the bedroom, and, like, with the other two, I had been creative in how I told him. And so I just walked back to the bedroom and just held up the pregnancy test, and he went, "Huh?"
I love that.
And I said, "Uh-huh." And he went, "Are you sure?" And I was like, pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
And he's like, "I think you should go take another one."
That's so funny.
So I did. So all that to say, yes, we were blessed with a little girl after we lost our baby. And she was born two years after.
Wow.
It was kind of two-year increments. And so, yes, and so she is, she's very full of life. Her name's Ella Grace, and she and Will are very different. Will is kind of just very laid back, more reserved, and she's just very full of life and energy and keeps us going. And so it's just neat to see how different they are.
Well, and both of your kids shine the light of God, but I do want to mention Ella Grace.
I wanted to mention that too.
I mean, have you seen her videos on Facebook, Ann?
So sweet. Leading devotions. I'm like, we might need to have her on right now.
She's 10.
She gets on there and she's like, "Today is devotion." And then she's just going to preach the word.
And this is her, and that's something she came up with all on her own.
I love it.
Like, so she just said, "Mama, I want to do this." And I thought, well, how can I say no to that? I mean, no. And so, and she's done it the past few weeks with Easter and different things. We haven't, but she is very adamant. She's like, "It is Sunday," and 4 o'clock was her time she set. Sunday at 4 o'clock. And I mean, she is on it, and she prepares it. She decides what she wants to talk about and finds a song to go with it and an activity. And so it's just something that the Lord has put on her heart to do.
Yeah. We've said this before, that it seems like obviously every child is special and unique and created in the image of God and has a purpose. But the ones that, if you've struggled with infertility or a child loss, and then this child comes that's this rainbow baby, there just seems to be an extra special, calling sometimes on their life. Like, the enemy really tried to keep that child from coming into the world, you definitely see that in your beautiful daughter's life.
Oh, thank you.
Good job, Mama.
No, it's not me, trust me.
But you, just real quick, you did mention that you were scared.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes, I was. Yeah, when we got pregnant with Ella Grace, yes, I was very scared, very uneasy. In fact, there was a time about halfway through my pregnancy that I started showing like a sign of miscarriage and I panicked.
Which can be normal or it can be a sign.
It's very scary. And so went to the doctor and everything checked out fine. But yes, I mean, it was just, there was a while there. Yeah, I think probably the whole time I was just very anxious that everything was going to be okay.
Anyone else? See after loss is hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We had a guest on to talk about her book, Courageously Expecting, and it was really helpful for me after our loss to be in the moment and to still rejoice and to hold that child loosely and still leave it in God's hands. So I would encourage anybody who's had a loss, even if you're not expecting yet, go ahead and get the book because it really helped prepare my heart to be able to carry that pregnancy and lean on him. But we are almost out of time.
Once again, so quickly,
as always. Any last words of encouragement for anyone who's listening?
Let me think. I just know, like I said early on, that time, like I said, time really does help. But do allow yourself to grieve. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing is allow yourself to grieve because you have lost a life. You have lost a baby. It's a real. Very real loss. And so just allow yourself to grieve and just lean hard on the Lord while you're doing so.
That's so good, Rebecca. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And for putting that article in the Hannah's Heart issue. It's special for you to share that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really special that we do remember those babies that, and you know, gone from this world way too soon, you know. And so we appreciate y'all when you let us know about these losses, but also for those pregnancies that come later. You guys, thank you so much again for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we hope to see you back next week.